It's a Panthers pre-game podcast. Unusually for us, we've got the band together on a Monday. Well, we've got one missing, and we've got our welcome to Chris Gadsby, usually on the post-game podcast. So yeah, where Dan Green is, we don't know, but hopefully he'll be with us Wednesday night, because Jono, you need a commentary partner. But on
Certainly
tonight's
did.
podcast, Jono Bullard, Ken Feast, and Christopher Gadsby. Evening all.
Evening.
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 I'm sure you've all seen the goals. I know some of you watched the webcast, because I know you went to the Blind Rabbit, Ken, and watched the webcast. I was lucky enough to go there, got the 6 o'clock train on Saturday morning from Nottingham, and arrived in Glasgow around lunchtime, which was, well worth the trip, well worth the trip there and back in a day. And the Panthers put on a clinic of a performance, really. Another clinic from Jason Grande. 3-0 victory for the Nottingham Panthers against Glasgow Clan. Didn't have it all their own way. Were made to work hard for it from a Clan side that obviously got hammered the night before, and they certainly came out strong. But Panthers got that goal from Sam Hare on the power play, wrapped it up effectively with the goal from Tim Doherty, and then the seal on the win was Mitch Fossier's empty net goal. Let's start with you, Ken, because I know you watched the whole game in front of a sold-out Blind Rabbit. I don't think there was a ticket left to be had. What a great turnout there. But what did you think of the performance?
I thought it was really... just really disciplined to go there with a real tight game plan. I mean, it was great to watch it in the Blind Rabbit. Really great fan experience. So, I mean, credit to the Panthers team behind the scenes for getting that deal sorted with Blind Rabbit. And I thought it was great. I would say the next best thing if you can't travel to an away game. So really, really good, and good atmosphere in there. But no, I thought just a really disciplined performance. I thought the Panthers, went obviously in with a very tight game plan. We absorbed quite a bit of pressure from Glasgow. Jason Grande was outstanding again. I mean, I'm still looking for something to kind of give the scale of how massive Tim Doherty's goal was at that point in the game.
I mean, it was immense. It was immense. And Jono, you wanted to talk about, Matt Alfero obviously had the shot saved. Then he picked up the puck and so cleverly fed Tim Doherty. I guess two questions in one here for you. You want to talk about that pass, great goal, but also the form of Tim at the moment.
Form of both of them.
Yeah, fair
play. Absolutely outstanding. Matt Alfero is 2+10 in his last four. Tim Doherty's 5+3 in his last four. He scored five goals, so he's on the four game goal streak, having scored five goals. He's I've rated him all season. I've waxed lyrical about him all season. Tim Doherty, he pops up with important goals at important times.
Yeah.
He really does. He has this habit of finding the net so consistently. I think 26 goals, I think, he's on this season now, which is just a really, really good return. And with the form that he's in, he's almost up to a point a game now in the Elite League. I think anyone who's managing sort of around a point a game is having a very, very good season. So yeah, but both him, Matt Alfero has been absolutely lights out the past few games. He's been outstanding. And I think the awareness in that goal for him to take the shot, pick up the rebound, get it back out to Tim Doherty, who was right there to just tap it home. Absolutely superb goal.
I think the thing is with Matt Alfero as well is he brings so much, doesn't he? Not only, is he getting points, but he has that physical element that perhaps some of his other teammates don't have. And I think recently, it's great to see two guys who probably a month ago were slightly quiet, perhaps. And the past month they've been, we went for ages talking about that line of Fossier, Contos, Hare, and recently, and now we're talking about Doherty, we're talking about Alfaro, Chris Gadsby. That's a really good spot to be in for this run in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And as John has alluded to there, they're all hitting form at the perfect time for the Panthers as well with this run in, which pretty much every single post game interview I do with Danny, he goes, every single game is a game seven. And it is in this running. I can't remember a league title race. I mean, there was that one a few years ago between Belfast and Cardiff where they both finished on what 92 points, 22 ahead of everybody else. But to have three teams in this title race with what a week and a half, 2 weeks of the season to go, it's really important that everybody shows up on every single night. And I think what they've done for Panthers in the last few weeks has shown that they're players that can be relied upon in the big moments.
Ken, it's great to see Panthers responding to pressure and the big moments. I think Danny said playoff game sevens. He's used all those phrases, but he's right. Every night is that, and you're not going to win every game in a run-in like this. We've had a couple of faltering games. So have Sheffield. So have Belfast. But the way the team are responding in the majority of the games, it's really good to see.
I think it, what I think it just shows the spirit that's in the dressing room. I think it just, we talked about it in the pre-game show before the last game, and I think they are pa Panthers are working as a team, a genuine team, and a team is always, greater than the sum of its parts, and I think the way that the Panthers are have come together and are playing together as a complete unit from top to bottom, I think is what's carrying them through. And I think it's that, along with one of the things we've talked about before, is the Panthers trying to find that extra gear. And they definitely found it against the Cardiff Devils at home. And the speed, the intensity that they were playing with was that next gear that we were looking for. And I think I'm pleased now that in this run-in, Panthers seem to have found that extra level that we were kind of going, could they elevate their game to that next level? And I think that they have, and they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. And then they should be, because they've got depth in scoring ability. They've got players who can come up in big moments. You mentioned Tim Doherty, Sam Hare. Sam Hare, some real captain's performances. He's hitting form again at the right time. I think it's just, I mean, it's super exciting. It's just genuine three horse race now. And anybody who's kind of watching this run in and watching these three teams battling out at the top, it's going right down to the wire. It's what an exciting finish for the last year. I can't remember a time like this where it's legitimately been three teams that could all scrape the title, and every team will have the same objective, which is they've got to win out. They've got to find a way of winning out, because that it's the pressure that of because you say, oh, it's the pressure is on us to win out. Yeah, but the pressure's on the other teams to win out as well. As soon as someone drops a point here or a point there, it's maximum pressure. So the fact that Danny's got the team playing the way that he has, and that they are have responded to the pressure in the way that they have, is just brilliant. I can't say enough good words about it. I think it's great.
We'll come on more into the run-in in a moment and analyze the scenarios and analyze the team's run-ins. But you mentioned the Cardiff game, and it makes me think that we haven't really had much chance to talk about that game in a podcast for various reasons. Jono, it was interesting because a lot of people, you including, I'm sure, probably, were texting people. The word that was used was that was an old school game. And you know what? I was saying that, but on reflection, I mean, it was an old school game without the fights, though. I mean, there was no fights, but that was just, and I know, Ken, you're reveling old school. So we'll probably come to you, but well, you jump in first, but
Well, no,
it was.
I was just going to say, sorry, I'm jumping in on you, but I interviewed Danny after the game in the green room, and I said that. I said, oh, that was, absolutely buzzing, proper old school. And Danny said, it wasn't quite old school. And I know what he meant,
He's
because
right.
if it had been proper old school, there'd have been at least a line brawl, if not the benches would have been emptied.
But that's probably as close as we're going to get to old school in this day and
Yeah.
age, which is another podcast for another topic. Jono, what impressed me about that Wednesday night was we didn't rise to Cardiff's bait. We let them lose the plot, but we weren't intimidated by them, and you know, we didn't need to fight them. We just let them get on with it. You know, yeah, a couple of guys took a few hits, and we, you know, Logan Nielsen got involved in the at the end there in that little brawl, and made sure he made himself known. And then we did our talking on the ice, you know, with our skill.
Great. It was just a great all-round performance. A bit of niggle, which everybody loves. I think that made it interesting. Got the crowd certainly on side during the game. So atmosphere was great for the vast majority of that game. Cardiff came to play a spoiling game, and we stood up to them, and then we answered them on the score sheet. It was as simple as that. Some great finishes, some great plays to get the goals, especially Sam Hayes' shorthanded goal. Matt Alfiero, what a pass to set him free.
Incredible.
It was a beautiful pass. But Logan Nielsen, I said to him after he'd interviewed Chris, I says, "Your eyes must have been like saucers when you saw that puck come to you, because all he had to do was just flick it into the top corner." And that was another great finish. And what was it? I think 1 minute and 32 seconds in. And that really set the tone for the entire game. I thought the first period we were outstanding.
Danny
We were
Stewart said
abs
that, didn't he? Danny
yeah,
Stewart, he almost said, I think he said, that's one of our best periods of hockey of the season.
of the
It's what he
season.
said to me.
And you know that Sam Hare goal, 100% Matt Alfiero, unbelievable. But also, not Sam Hare just for the finish, but his anticipation. If you watch that clip back, just
Yeah,
as
he sees it.
Alfaro
He
is winning the
goes.
puck, he's gone. Now, if Alfaro loses the puck, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's a high-risk play. It is a high-risk play, but because he took that risk, he had got that jump. Alfaro instinctively knew where he was, and bang, it's in the back of the net. And
Why has nobody set that goal yet to Titanic music?
that that's one of my pet hates, you know, that we've got to be over that now. I mean, it's just surely, like every time I see someone set something to the Titanic music, I'm like, it's been done a million times.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean,
I think as well, like, yes, that was a high risk play for Sam to set up off the ice, but it also shows just how much trust and faith the Panthers have in Grande being able to make every single save. Because if you had a netminder there that they didn't like trust to make those saves, he probably wouldn't have gone, at least as early as he did to try and set up off the ice.
Guess what, Kenny makes a good point.
He
He
does.
does. You do. You make a very good point. Well, let's move on now. And I want to talk about Wednesday. It's a potential banana skin, isn't it, Ken? I mean, Manchester are battling for their lives. They're 4 points off Dundee at the moment. Manchester still have a chance of making playoffs. They're not going to give in at all. You know, we saw, you know, a few weeks ago on a Wednesday, it was the Clan, wasn't it, where we were beaten by the Clan, when I think the momentum was with us. We, you know, and 2 points would have pushed us up the table. You know, it's but you do feel, don't you, Ken, that the mentality that Panthers are in right now, they should be fine. But you know, it's not a gimme, is it, is what I'm saying.
No, there's no gimmies. There's no gimmies at all. And every team, including the Storm, they're battling out for something. Whether it's even you even take the Five Flyers, who are out of the playoff race, are battling for pride. So and you know, so every team's battling for something. And Storm are going to be dangerous. We can't underestimate them. We cannot underestimate them at this point in the season. We can't underestimate them at any point in the season. I think that on a given night, we've got the beating of the Storm, but we're going to have to bring the level of intensity that we brought in that first period against the Cardiff Devils. If we bring that level, then our depth and our, you know, the quality of our team should be enough. If we come out expecting it to be an easy night, then they'll turn us over, because you know they've got good players, and they're disciplined in what they do. They play a physical game, and it's definitely not a night to have an off night. I mean, they just thumped Cardiff 6-0.
Yeah, they're like the definition of a 500 hockey team over the last 10 days. They win one, lose one, win one, lose one. But in the last like 11 games, they've beaten Cardiff 6-0. They beat Belfast. They've beaten Coventry twice. Like you said, they are fighting to get into that eighth spot. As the top seven have already guaranteed their playoff spot. They're fighting to get into that eighth spot. And if they hit that on a good run of form, then they are even going to pose a threat to whoever wins the league in the playoff quarterfinals as well.
Yeah, they've also got Alexi Dehu, who is the top point scorer in the Elite League, playing for them. Who is a massive, massive threat. They will come to play on Wednesday night. There's no doubt about that, and they're going to have the tails up after that result they got on Sunday night.
Let's look at the run in, and then we'll discuss how we think Panthers can win the league. We're under no illusions. Panthers have to win out from here. If they don't win out from here, they're not winning the league. I mean, yeah, there's a chance, but it would be very, very unlikely. The games that matter, Wednesday night, we play the Storm, Belfast against Fife. You're putting Belfast down for a home win there, almost probably. Saturday night, Guildford against Nottingham, Sheffield against Dundee, Belfast against Fife. Again, putting Belfast down for a win there. Sheffield, in my opinion, yes, they'll probably win. But you just never know. Dundee fighting as well to keep their playoff place in eighth. Then on the Sunday, Belfast, Manchester. Again, assume a Belfast win, but the Storm we know could do something there. Fife against Sheffield as well. Again, probably a Sheffield win. Fife have been getting closer. They've been running teams close at home. So that's
So it's in
on.
five as well.
And it's in Fife as well. That's on Sunday. And then to the final weekend, as we know, Belfast away for us and also at home. And then the two games for Sheffield, Cardiff at home, and then Coventry on the road. Jono Bullard, where are Sheffield realistically dropping points?
That Coventry game.
Yeah.
And possibly the Dundee game, because Dundee is still fighting for a playoff spot as well. So that won't be easy for them. They'll beat Fife, they'll beat Cardiff. But I think Dundee and Coventry are the two games I think where they could possibly drop points.
Interesting. Are we saying then we think Cardiff can probably just are a bit toast now? They're nailed on for fourth and they're just not. I mean, there is a chance they might finish fifth if Coventry win a few games. But is Jono right? Is a Dundee and Coventry the most likely places for Sheffield to drop points?
I think Coventry definitely. I think possibly Dundee. I see Jono's point, but I actually think with the run of form that Cardiff have been on, I think that Pete's gonna want to. He's gonna want a reaction from his team at some point,
And in a big and against a big
in a big game against a big team.
yeah
And he's going to get them really, really, really fired up for that game against the Sheffield Steelers. And I
yeah they can.
that's their final build to the playoff run. And I think you could see them drop points there. We only need to, that's it, sad. You only need a couple of games to go to overtime and an overtime loss, or obviously a loss in regulation, but. Like I say, the pressure is on. It's who can handle that pressure and who can close those games out. And obviously, if everybody closes them out, then, well, they can't. At least our destiny will be partially in our hands with the two games against Belfast. It will be in our hands at the end. We can't control what happens with Sheffield, but
No.
our destiny will be ours against Belfast.
Essentially, if we win out, we will finish above Belfast at this point.
And the key is for Sheffield is they need to lose one of these games in regulation, a point, because if we go head to head, we're not going to realistically turn around those regulation wins unless Steelers
No.
stumble up now with a few overtime wins and we can put it clear closer, but that's unlikely to happen. So, Chris,
We need
you
a loss in
just,
regulation.
we really need, we need a Sheffield loss in regulation.
It needs to be a regulation loss, really. Obviously, there is still the, it's the not just winning, but how teams win. Like, yes, Panthers need to win out realistically it needs to be two regulation wins against Belfast on that final weekend. We're winning in overtime and shootouts is no good. Can't go giving Belfast, the points in those games. So it has to be in regulation, really. Yes, Panthers will win the tiebreaker on Belfast. The first is regulation wins. If that's tied, total wins. If that's tied, head to head, and Panthers would win the head to head over Belfast over the course of the season. It is going to be needing Sheffield to drop 2 points somewhere in that run-in. And I think the most likely scenario, should Panthers win the league, will be Panthers finishing on 78, Belfast finishing on 78, and Sheffield finishing on 77, which would be an incredible end to the Elite League season.
Yeah. Now, listen, I think I'm going to get outvoted here, and I think you all know where I'm going to go with this. If Panthers don't win the league, and we all believe that there's a chance, if they don't win the league, I posted a few scenarios, not just to you guys in the chat. Notice Greener didn't respond either to that one. He didn't tell us what he wanted.
Has anyone checked on him? Is he all right?
I hope so. He's been reading our messages, so he's clearly fine. I guess he just doesn't want to be part of our gang anymore. He is a busy man, though, to be fair. He's a busy man, so we'll let that slide. But yeah, or maybe he's fallen out with us. Anyone said anything mean? What did you say to him on commentary the other week, Jono? You've upset him?
No, nothing.
No.
The usual. Still got the fist pump at the end of the commentary, so.
Usual stuff. Okay, so you guys know where I'm going with this, and I'm going to start and then let you guys shout back at me. And I also feel I could be in the minority on everyone listening, and that's fine because I hear how the people boo whenever the word Sheffield Steelers is mentioned. So I gave the scenario: if we're not to win the league, would you rather finish second and Steelers win the league and Belfast finish third, or would you rather Belfast win the league and Panthers finish third effectively? So the two choices were a third place finish and Belfast win the league, a second place finish and Steelers win the league. Now I went for Steelers winning the league and Panthers second. And the reason for this, and Jono, you made the point in the chat that no one really cares second or third, just the winners. Second and third's kind of irrelevant. And I'm kind of taken out about who you might face in the playoffs in this, because obviously that could be a factor. And I'm also a firm believer that yes, there's certain teams you might want to face, but if you're going to win the playoffs, and that's surely everyone's aim, you've got to beat the best teams anyway. So that to me is an aside. The reason I want to finish second, and I do respect your point, Jono, about the fact that second or third's not a win, so it's kind of the same. The fact that after the past few years that this club has had and has been out the title race for so long, where we were last year with everything that went on, to turn, this could be another podcast, but the job that Danny Stewart and Linton Grant done, no matter what happens from now on, has been absolutely remarkable. But to me, to finish second is insane. Third is amazing, absolutely brilliant. But to me, I don't. If it means Steelers win it, well done to them. Because if they get the most points over the course of the season, they deserve it because they've got the most points. I would just, if we can't win the league, second to me would mean everything. There's also, the talk, of course, that could be a road into the Continental Cup, but that's obviously if there's, double winners of league and playoffs. So that's an aside, of course. So to me, I'd suck it up. Well done to Sheffield as they did it. Who wants to shout me down first? You've got about a minute each. Jono, you were probably the most vociferous. Go.
I don't want Sheffield to win a face-off. So I don't want them winning the league again. It was bad enough last season. I had to put up with it over the summer. So no,
So your
thank you.
hatred for Sheffield is more intense than us finishing second.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, if us finishing seconds means them winning, no, thank you. I'll take third.
Okay, let's go for Chris, who I think might be a bit more reasonable, but maybe come up with the same answer. No?
No, I mean I'm kind of more in your line of thinking, Chris, in the
Well,
sense
you
of
were. Sorry, I remember you. Sorry, yes.
if Panthers don't win the league, I honestly don't really care who does. I think if Panthers were to come second behind Sheffield, as you have said, it kind of gives a possible avenue into Europe should the playoffs go a particular way in the next few weeks. But also, From a, I mean, it might not make a difference, and maybe you guys will shoot me down on this, but is coming second in the league and finishing realistically, let's say, like a point behind the winners, is that therefore going to then be more attractive to players next season or retaining players that Panthers want for next season than finishing third and ending up like 7 or 8 points behind Belfast if they lose both in the last weekend?
It's an interesting point. I don't think so. I think everybody will look at the season Nottingham have had, and yeah, it's been a brilliant season. I take your point, what you're saying, but we've been in the mix. We're going to be in the mix until the final weekend. So, that's so you're kind of siding with me. So that's good. Ken, we've not got long left. Shoot me and Chris down, or have a
No,
surprise twist in a twist in opinion, and.
so my view is how I feel about Sheffield or mentioning, I'm not a big fan of kind of commenting on what they're doing. I think we should just concentrate on ourselves, not worry about what anyone else is doing. Is mutually exclude. It's not a like that is does not frame part of my debate. Whatever happens with them, that lot of the roads, irrelevant to me. I want Panthers to do as well as they can do. And if that means whatever else that means, I want us to finish with the most points we can get, with at the highest point we can. And that shouldn't be in any way seen as wanting or not being bothered about. If that meant Sheffield won the league, I'd be like, well, let's get them next time. It's not, Sheffield probably need to keep their fans coming through the door because that's. That's what their whole business model is predicated on, is winning. So, you never know if they don't win, maybe they fold. I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
listen.
it feels very, I mean, very, very quickly, it feels, and maybe it's a slant on social media from what you see, but it feels almost like them and their fan base seem to care more about how we're doing than our fan base care about how they're doing. If you kind of know
maybe.
what I mean, it's almost like a
Maybe.
Nottingham Forest, Notts County sort of thing, where Notts seem to think there's a huge rivalry, and Forest are like, yeah.
Yeah,
Anyway,
maybe.
it's all a moot point anyway, because we're going to win the league. So,
You're going to win now. Ken, great. I actually thought you were going to go more the other way. So, Jono, 3-1, you've kind of been outvoted. But like you just said, we're going to win the league anyway. Good news is Dan Green's just checked in. He's just got home. Don't know where he's been. He's been out, but he's here. Too late, Greener. Missed the podcast, hadn't he? Yeah, he has. I just expected someone to just jump
He's
in there.
doing.
I
I
thought
thought
you
that
were
was your
finishing.
outro.
I thought the pause was like, oh, we're done.
He's been chiropracting, probably.
He probably has. Anyway, we're going to run out of time. Chris, Jono, Ken, thanks very much. We'll see you all on Wednesday.